Welcome to The Weekly Option, the podcast for people interested in trading stock options. Each week, we cover trade ideas and opportunities in the stock market right now. Whether you're a beginner, a professional, or just curious about options, this is the show for you. Let's get started. Welcome to The Weekly Option. This is episode 39 on December 8th, 2018. I'm your host, Eric, and in this week's show, we will cover the trades from last week on Urban Outfitters, Best Buy, and the EMP Oil and Gas Services ETF. And then we'll look at three new trades on the U.S. Natural Gas ETF, the S&P 500 ETF, and General Motors. Now, it's always great to hear from listeners, so if you have any questions about the trades presented on the show, or even about your own positions, feel free to email me. You can reach me at eric@theweeklyoption.com. That's E-R-I-C. @theweeklyoption.com. And I've also created a short video series to teach you all the basics of option trading that you'll need to know in order to be able to follow along with me on the trades in this show. You can visit our website and click on the videos tab, and that's at theweeklyoption.com, or visit our YouTube channel for The Weekly Option. Now, we had quite the volatile week in the market, right? We were up 287 points on Monday, and then down nearly 800 points on Tuesday. The markets, of course, were closed on Wednesday in honor of George H.W. Bush's funeral. And then on Thursday, it was pretty mild, down roughly 80 points. And then on Friday, we repeated another volatile day, down a little bit more than 550 points on the day. Now, overall, the stock market fell around 4.5% this week. The Dow Jones Industrial Index fell 1,150 points, ending the week at 24,388 points. That's a 4.5% drop on its own. The S&P 500 index fell 127 points week over week, ending at 2,633 points. So right now, the Dow is actually about 906 points in the negative on the year. We started the year a bit stronger, and we saw some up moves, but we've pretty much given back all of the gains of 2018 in the market so far. So we'll see what happens over the next few weeks. Now, this week regarding earnings, there are 73 publicly traded companies in the U.S. that will be announcing their quarterly earnings. I'll only keep an eye on a few of these companies this week. It's obviously a pretty small or pretty slow earnings week as well. So on Tuesday, we will hear from clothing retailers American Eagle Outfitters and DSW, Designer Shoe Warehouse. On Thursday, Adobe Inc., the software maker, and Costco, the wholesale shopping club, will both announce quarterly earnings. Now, last week we started a segment called The Topic of the Week. And I want to continue this. I like to do this every week. So definitely email me if you have any ideas or any questions specifically about option trading that you'd love for me to cover in this segment. This week, given the week that we had, I just want to talk about trades that make money when the economy or in the market is going down, right? So if you just to cover sort of a fundamental topic within option trading, we know that if you own a call and the market goes up, then you make money. And if the market goes down, you lose money. So therefore, selling a call gives you the opposite profit range. So if you sell a call option and the market goes up, you lose money. But if it goes down, you make money. So inherently, any trades that involve selling calls, whether that's selling individual calls or selling call spreads, will make money as the market goes lower. Things like covered calls can be rather tricky. Even though you've sold the call option, your main risk lies with that stock that you own. So a covered call doesn't typically win in a big market move down. Selling credit spreads, call spreads that you sell, that tends to make money. Now as well, we talk about put options, and put options increase in value when the market goes down if you own them. So buying puts, or buying put spreads for that matter, both of those tend to make money as the market goes lower. And the moment you decide to hedge with stock, it sort of changes your outcomes as well. But ultimately, in a market that is pushing lower, and I could easily see this market sort of treading water over the next few weeks as well. You're going to have a situation where the professional traders and money managers, even the pension funds, they're really not going to want to finish this year down. And 906 points may sound like a lot, but we could be up 906 points this upcoming week. So this market certainly has shown that it can move quite a bit. I wouldn't be surprised if we end the year roughly flat. I've seen it happen before. Like when I used to be an option trader at the CBOE on the floor of the exchange, oftentimes the S&P 500 index and the Dow for that matter would finish right around the strike that most of the professional traders were short. And that mostly was a function of the various hedging techniques that were happening with futures in order to flatten out their position. It becomes a self-fulfilling prophecy, if you will. And so I oftentimes will look to see where the largest sort of near money short-term or short side of the market is, which strikes are short, and how close are they to being at the money? Because a lot of times as guys try to buy and sell futures to hedge off their position, they will inherently move the market to exactly the point where their short strike is. And in option trading, we call that being pinned. It's when the market expires at an option strike level that you yourself are short. So you have to decide whether you're, well, you have to decide a number of things. Are you going to hedge? What's the risk of being assigned on the stock, which means what's the risk that you're going to get a notice from the exchange that you actually have to deliver the stock on the options themselves? Or if you're trading something like the S&P 500 index, it might be a cash settled option as well. So lots of decisions to make in that scenario. But at the end of the day, if the market is going lower and you happen to be if you've sold calls or call spreads and you've bought puts or bought put spreads, then you're going to make money. And the funny thing is, if you look at the trades that we've put on this show, that I've discussed on this show, our credit spreads for the last 3 weeks have all been call spreads. So all but, let's see, since November 9th, our show on November 9th, so that's one, two, three, four, five episodes, 5 shows ago, counting this one, there's only been 1 week where I suggested selling a put spread. Every one of those other ones in the month of December, those were all December strikes, were call options. And so pretty much at this point, all of them are making money because the market has moved so much lower. The only one that actually may be okay is actually that put spread because it was on Barrick Gold. And I was going to mention this a little bit later, but the other thing that you have to consider is that when the equities are going lower, investors, large like real money investors, meaning like mutual funds, pension funds, hedge funds, they tend to look for other asset classes that are not correlated, which means that they're not going to fall down at the same rate as the equity, as the stock market. So what you tend to do is lean heavily on commodities, gold being one of those substitute goods that always holds value as your stock market is going lower. Oftentimes, gold will actually appreciate. And then the other thing that people will do when the equity market is going lower is they tend to buy bonds. So the kicker there, what's interesting with buying bonds is that we also are in a scenario where the Federal Reserve Bank, has been raising interest rates. Raising interest rates don't those if you raise interest rates, that tends to lower the price of bonds. But you have an opposite situation happening with demand because as people choose to move money from the stock market and put it into bonds, just the demand itself is going to push the price of bonds higher, which has the effect of you pay more for that bond, which means that the coupon or the end maturity of that bond actually ends up having a lower implied interest rate. So I don't know if that's too much. I can kind of geek out on this sort of thing, but feel free to email me if you have any questions. I mean, it all is sort of a, I look at it as all one big pie. The equity market is one piece of it. I've obviously spent the last, I've spent 10 out of the last 11 years as a commodity trader, mostly focused on energy, moving physical product around the world, as well as trading options and futures. And so that's another piece of the pie. And then you have the whole fixed income, you know, bond side of the equation. And all of those sort of add up to create a piece of a larger pie. That larger pie is just making money as an investor as well. And so you have to look at other asset classes too, like real estate. And I mean, I keep going. But when it comes to the financial markets, I tend to think in terms of commodities, bonds, and then the equity markets. So that's it for our topic of the week. Let's go ahead and look at what happened with the trades this past week. So, like I said, most of the trades I've suggested over the past few weeks have been bearish in nature, meaning I've been selling calls, and on the debit spreads, I've been buying put spreads for weeks on end. I hadn't even really looked at it consistently like that until the market started really moving around this week. And it's just funny, that just worked out it worked out that way. I'm not going to make it sound like I'm some sort of a guru who ultimately timed the market this way. You win some, you lose some. I'm happy to be winning right now. So we'll start off with the cover call that we looked out at last week. It was Urban Outfitters. The stock symbol on that is URBN, Uncle Richard Brian Nancy. The stock at the time was $38.09. And we looked at selling the December 39 call for $1.05 against owning shares of stock and hoping for a 5% return in 3 weeks. Well, Urban Outfitters ended the week at $37.04 per share, which is exactly our break-even point for the trade. So we collected $1.05 to sell that December 39 call option. And so far, stock has fallen exactly by that amount, by $1.05. Now, you could actually buy the December 39 call by paying 65 cents for it right now. That'll lock in a 40 cent profit. And then you turn around and sell. You could sell that December 37 half call, which is the closer to the money call right now, and collect $1. So that lowers your break even price further on the trade and locks in a little bit of profit for now. So it gives you additional cushion to be able to profitably sustain any downward or any more lower downward pressure in that stock. And then if the stock ends higher than $37.50, you will walk away with an even higher percentage than 5%, which is what we were hoping for a 3 week trade. This trade only has 2 more weeks to go. December expiration is in 2 weeks. So it's looking good, especially if you're able to buy that option back in and sell a lower strike, roll the strike down. So let's move on to the credit spread we looked at. We looked at Best Buy, symbol BBY, Brian Yellow. The stock at the time was $64.59. And we looked at selling the December 65-65 half call spread at 15 cents with a maximum loss of 35 cents. So Best Buy stock fell $4 per share over the week, ending the week at $60.58. So the call spread which we sold is even further out of the money, which means that we made money on this trade. In fact, the trade is $4.50 out of the money at this point. So if you tried to buy it back right now, it's funny, you would actually, it would cost you your entire profit. Like you would still have to pay the exact amount of money we collected. You'd have to pay 15 cents only because of the bid-ask spread. But if you were to try to sell more of it, you wouldn't collect any money at all because of the way the options are being priced right now. The the spread as being valued at zero if you tried to sell more of it. So this is clearly a winner, right? It's $4.50 out of the money. If the spread is trading on Monday at this price, if it allows you to exit and lock in 10 cents, I'd take the money. Otherwise, I'd just go ahead and keep an eye on stock prices and hold on to this one in your portfolio. It's going to expire at zero if stock prices stay down here or keep going lower. So given the market movement lately, you don't have to be in any hurry to take the risk off. But, you know, when the market is moving down 800 points, it also means that it could have the, you know, it could have the momentum to move up 800 points too. So just keep an eye on it. I don't like to count my profits until after expiration, when there's nothing else to do with the stock and I'm essentially out of the position. But you definitely want to just keep an eye on this. But it's a winner at this point, so that's great. And then our final was the debit spread. Now, I looked at this EMP oil and gas ETF. It's actually an oil and gas services ETF. The symbol is XOP, X-Ray Oscar Paul. ETF at the time was $32.81 a share. I looked at buying the December 34, 33 half put spread for 33 cents, which would yield a maximum gain of 17 cents or 51% return in 3 weeks. Well, XOP ETF finished the week at $31.54, which is $1.27 lower. And so that in the money put spread, which we bought, is even more in the money now. Now, of course, same situation. The closing price for the week doesn't really allow for us to exit and collect any, lock in any money right now. But if you hold this trade for two more weeks and prices stay lower than $33.50 per share, we're going to collect a return of about 51% on our trade. Not bad for 3 weeks. And I say that so often, you guys probably think I sound like a broken record. So, you know, you don't have to just listen to me on this show, by the way. I give you the prices. I give you the stock symbols. Go back and validate. I mean, verify. You can challenge me on it. I'm doing this. I'm using the course this way with end of day prices so that you can actually go back and validate or verify what I'm saying is true and verify that it would have been possible. So, because a good portion of the show for me is not really about telling you guys what an awesome trader I am. I'm kind of beyond that at this point. I love to teach, and I have been teaching students through the Option Studio course we offered last month, and I'm going to be mentioning that again here shortly. So I'm going to have a webinar soon and bring in some new people, especially for those of you who are already thinking about ways to get active in the option market in 2019. Like, I love the fact that over the last few weeks, as the market is truly volatile, I don't have to worry because everything except for those covered calls has, every spread that I put on has defined risk right from the start. I know what my maximum loss and what my maximum gain is. And so if the market moves in my direction, I get to take in the maximum gain. If the market moves against me, it's my maximum loss. And I already know what my maximum loss is to start. So it's, you know, if the market drops 1,000 points, it's not like, oh my God, I just lost my 401k. I just lose my maximum loss. Or in this scenario, because I had trades that were essentially bearish, I've been making money. But at the end of the day, even if it was moving against me, it's okay. Because I never assume that I'm going to win on every trade. In fact, that's a great way to have a short stint trading and a short career. Go to Vegas instead. So if you're going to be a professional about how you trade, you really want to make sure that you are considering the risk, consider the downside on every trade. And then you want to size your trades, meaning you want to make sure that you only trade the number of spreads or the number of options that you can, that you can afford. Like, as not as far as the total amount of money in your account, but the amount of money that you're willing to allocate for risk for any given trade. So I never have 100% of my capital allocated, because if everything goes wrong, I still need to be able to trade next week or next month, right? So it's all of those risk management things that are what really make trading a profession rather than just gambling. And gambling, like going to the casino, there are very few ways where you can truly, truly hedge off your risk. There are things that you can do to get the odds more in your favor, but it's hard to really cap off your risk without it costing you all of your upside. And that's just not true with options. So I hope you guys are seeing that. Follow along with me. And sorry for that little soapbox. I'll go ahead and get off of the box and let's talk about some trades for this upcoming week. So start off with the covered call. The covered call was actually both easy and difficult this week. It was easy to find some call options that look like they'd be worth selling. The problem is that there are very few equity stocks that I've wanted to purchase. And so, again, I decided to lean to look at commodity land. And it led me to the UNG, the U.S. Natural Gas ETF, symbol UNG, Uncle Nancy George. The ETF ended the week at $36.52. And I'm looking at buying that ETF and then selling the December 37 call against it for $2.13. Now, that's really high. That's really high for this call 2 weeks away from expiration. But if stock goes up another 48 cents, if this ETF goes up another 48 cents, you'll be able to lock in a 7% return in 2 weeks. So do your homework on this trade if you decide to enter it. Again, 7% in 2 weeks is pretty high for this type of trade. So I'd have to dig in a little bit more to make sure I understand, see if there's anything specific, anything crazy happening. There may be some momentary outages somewhere. It's winter time where demand for natural gas is actually higher. So that supports the bid. That supports the price being high. But I just want to make sure I fully understand why that option is priced where it is. But you would enter this trade by buying the UNG ETF for $36.52. And then, of course, selling that December 37 call at $2.13. This trade will make the most money if stock finishes above $37 per share in 2 weeks. Now, our next trade is going to be the credit spread. I'm looking, once again, I'm going to exit equity, individual equities, and go back to ETFs. I think I've stated a few times on the show how much I love ETFs. And in fact, a few years back, I actually taught a class, an online class, on ETF trading, commodity ETF trading. So it's what I love. It's what I trade it the most on the floor of the exchange as well. And so we're going to go right back there. So I'm looking at the S&P 500 index ETF, the Spiders, symbol SPY, Sam Paul Yellow. The ETF ended the week at $263.57. And I'm looking at selling the December 267 half call spread at 18 cents, which creates a maximum loss of 32 cents because this is a 50 cent wide spread. Now, this is, if you notice, I said the 267 is the lower strike. That's the strike that I'm selling. So we're talking about something that's almost $3.50 out of the money. But again, given the volatility of the past few weeks, this is one that you'll have to look at yourself and see if it's something that fits into your risk profile. But either way, of course, because we're selling the spread, that's why I mentioned the maximum loss. We'll collect 18 cents on the front. We could lose the total value, the 50 cents, which ends up being a 32 cent loss given that we're collecting 18 cents on the front side. So you would enter this trade by selling the SPY December 267 call at $3.20, and then buying the December 267 half call at $3.02. This is a credit spread because we are selling the spread, and this trade makes the most money if stock prices finish below $267 per share in 2 weeks. And then our final trade for the week is going to be on General Motors. It's a debit spread on General Motors, symbol GM, George Mary. Stock finished the week at $34.69, and I'm looking at buying the December 35 half, 35 put spread for 35 cents, which would give us a maximum gain of 15 cents, or we'll call it 42% return in 2 weeks. So tough to beat out on the possible returns on these debit spreads. Now, you would enter this trade by buying the December 35 half put for $1.45 and selling the December 35 put at $1.10. This is a debit spread because we are buying the spread, and this trade makes money if stock prices finish below $35 per share. It makes the most money if stock finishes below $35 per share in 2 weeks. So December expirations in 2 weeks. Most likely next week I will begin trading January options, because with one week left in December, it normally isn't. Normally there are the things that catch my eye are glittering, and they have tended to not be gold after expiration. So no point in giving up this has been a solid month of returns. Definitely don't want to give that up in the last week of trading. So expect some January options next week. Again, email me if you have any questions. My email is eric@theweeklyoption.com, and that's E-R-I-C, Eric with a C. And then, you know what, if you have an interest in learning more about not only these trades, but we go much deeper in the Option Studio to talk about several other strategies. I mean, one of the problems with option trading courses is that they tend to focus on one type of spread. So if I create a whole course on debit spreads, chances are you're going to lose money when the market isn't really benefiting debit spreads. If I only sell you a course on credit spreads or on covered calls or any single thing, like, hey, let's do a course on iron condors or butterflies or volatility spreads like straddles and strangles. Like, some of you may know what those are, others of you may not, but at the end of the day, you can't be a one-trick pony. You really need to understand options, and that's why this course, or not the course, but really my podcast is consistent, and I'm consistent in the structure, and I want it to sound the same every week so that you guys get in the habit of listening and following along. I don't throw you for any loops. I don't say like, hey, this week we're going to do collars. Next week we're going to do, we're going to look at some iron condors. Like, no, let's be very consistent, because I want people to learn and to be able to follow along with me. But if you want to learn more and you'd like to hear more about the Option Studio, definitely email me at eric@theweeklyoption.com, and I'll send you an update when we decide to send out the video for that. So it'll be pretty simple. It's nice. We're definitely going to give a discount on it as well for the month of December, and then ramp back up at full price in January. So it's a great way to get a jump on getting ready for 2019 so that we can make 2019 your best trading year yet. That is it for the show. Hope you have a phenomenal week trading. Thank you, of course, for listening. You guys take care. Happy trading. Bye-bye.
Thank you for listening to the Weekly Option Podcast. Please subscribe to our show and visit us at www.theweeklyoption.com. Disclaimer, there is a very high degree of risk involved in trading. The indicators and strategies described in this podcast are for educational purposes only and should not be construed as investment advice. For our full disclaimer, visit our website at www.theweeklyoption.com.